what you see here, I don't know if you can, read all the text in the boxes, but you can read it on the presentation on the conference CD. But what you see below, this picture, is the actual setup and what it's doing. Like over here, you can see your RFID reader and OCR unit. So what happens, you present your passport to this device. The device checks the MRZ, which is machine readable zone, which is the data which is on the bottom two lines on your passport. So the key of, for authentication is in there. So it converts it to digital numbers to make the authentication possible. In here is also an RFID reader, so it also performs the readout. Then it can check if the chip, which is of the picture which is printed on the document, looks like the picture that's stored in the chip. And after that, they make a picture with the camera, and then they match if the picture from the camera looks like the picture in the chip. And if that's the case, the doors here, there's two doors, automatic sliding doors, they open. If not, alarm bell goes off, and you got to go to the normal, you got to follow the normal process and go to a guy from border control. At the time I saw this setup, it was not used. There was a guy who was quite bored, and I had a delayed flight, so I asked him, hey, how does the stuff work? And he told me some stories about it, and actually the biggest problems they had is not... is that the camera was not working that well on really tall people and really small people. So if you got some tall people, you're making a picture of his neck and his t-shirt. And if you got very small people, you make a picture of the person behind him. And yeah, that obviously doesn't match with the picture in the passport. But besides that, it was working quite okay. Dutch immigration also seems to use that kind of software for tests. What you see here is a passport of the Dutch Minister of Justice. And what they did, he went to some kind of meeting with e-passports. He demoed a readout of his passport, and there was a high-resolution picture taken. They put it on their website, and if you zoomed on it, you can get all the data you need to create a fake passport of the minister. So that's actually a quite interesting one. What you can also see here, so it's the scan versus chip checks. So what you see here is a scan of the printed document, so this one. And what you see here is the chip, the image retrieved from the chip. And the funny thing is, this is black and white and this is color. So if you want to find some new flaws, you need a test setup. To get a test setup, you need some equipment. So I just showed you the reader I got here. It's about $75, something like that. You need a computer. You need a development environment. You need some blank cards. So this is one or about $20. So this is actually a multi or a dual interface card. It's got a chip interface, but also a wireless interface. And it might become handy to get a printer to scan documents, or an all-in-one printer to scan documents and to print documents to try to fake the MRZ readers. So the readers that read the bottom lines of your passport. So then what you need is some code which emulates a real passport. What you can do is follow the specifications of ICAO. They put a worked example, as I call it, in it. And the worked example shows exactly what they're doing. So it's a step-by-step guide to make it possible to check your implementation. And then, of course, you need to add some functionality to update the data. Normal passport is for read-only purposes. Of course, if you want to perform some security tests, you also want some write functionality in it, so you can change data in it. Well, your applet can be tested quite easily. What you can do is get a passport, doesn't matter which one, as long as there's a chip in it. You can perform a readout with, for example, RFIDIOT, which is an open source tool by Adam Lowry. You got full control of the readout equipment. You also got full control of the chip, because you're programming that code yourself. So you can set the randoms, which are used to encrypt the communication, to a fixed value. And if you use that fixed value, you can check whether your test data equals the data which should be there, and see if you introduced some bugs. So that's an easy way to get all the stuff working. Now, if you did that, probably at least what I experienced is that I made some mistakes and there were some bugs in it, fixed them, and it's working. So to show that, and that's I think I wasn't at his presentation, but quite similar to the things Lucas showed 2 years ago. I wrote some software, which allows you to clone or to write arbitrary data to the passport applets, which are stored in the cards you see here. So what I do first is read it. So now it says put the e-passport near the terminal, press enter. Now it's doing that now. Some of the data is obfuscated now because I don't want you to have all my passport data. So now it's read the passport data. We put a blank chip near the reader and we're writing it. So here you see the files which are in the Dutch version. So first you see the index. So that's this one. Then you see the security object. This is a full copy, so it doesn't matter that it's in another chip because the content is the same, so the hashes and the signing is also the same. Then the first data group, second data group, the picture, and then data group 15, which is used for anti-cloning purposes. So it's finished writing now. So still, the emulator is on it. And now I can perform a readout, like I just did with the original document, but this is not the original document. So again, the output is a bit obfuscated. That's not the files on the chip, but it's just the output. So this is the biggest one, the picture, which is a JPEG. And now you see that this is a clone of my original passport. You can do this with every passport, which is not future active authentication. So for example, for a United States version, you can do that, you got a clone, and you can perform some lookalike fraud. So if you got a few persons and they look like each other, give them the same chip and see what will happen. I will skip the code snippets for now. I'll save them for the end of the presentation. Or if you're interested, perhaps we can also show that later on. So if you got your applet working, so you can clone passports, it's good to find interesting checks. So what can go wrong? If you're an e-passport programmer, what will might go wrong? So passport programmers are only human, and not all of them are really security aware. So what you see is that they make mistakes, just like other coders do. And we got our things with our Linux distributions, our Microsoft Windows platform, ePassport programmers, also programmers. So it's likely that they also make some mistakes here at some point in time. You can check some test results. So there are international tests performed once a year, and countries who got electronic documents can go there and check their passport against a number of tests. You also can get the results of those tests, so you see a hyperlink below, and you can download all the test info from 2 years ago when there was a test event in Germany. And what you can see here, the red lines, is that some basic tests fail for 3 out of 10 documents. So that's very interesting that you can see that at that point in time already some things go wrong. Of course, these are test events, and their goal is to improve the software quality. But still, you see that they introduce some bugs. Using this, the green spots are interesting to attack, and we will zoom in on that later on. So what you should do is just, if you got a clue of that something's going wrong, just test it. Even if it's really simple, just test it. Also, simple things can go wrong, as we'll see later on. So to get a working ePassport, we need to get a reference implementation. If you want to check if your attack is working or not, you should have some reference implementations to see if it's actually working or not. I got 2 reference implementations. One is a Golden Reader tool. So that's ICAO references it as a tool used for testing implementations and some real-life setups. So some months ago, they were introducing some new setups at Dutch town halls, and they're publicly available, so you can use them if you like to. And I also visit some of the town halls who got the new setups. And then you got to pass 3 checks. You got to the setup got to use the document as a real document. So also, if the document is not a passport, but just a printed page for the MRZ data, so first it needs the key to read it, that should be read. Then you've got to pass active authentication tests, and after that you can pass active authentication tests, which are used in Dutch documents, and I was using the Dutch documents here. So the first thing is to scan the image. Is the image on the printed document. It looks like the image in the chip. What you can do is get an updated picture in the chip. What you can do then is print that updated picture and put it on the printed document and see if it works. What you also can do is manipulate the MRZ, so the lines here. And to do that, you can download some OCR fonts, which are specially made for this kind of equipment, and replace the lines with the lines you want. There is some advanced equipment on the market. 3M, for example, sells equipment that's using infrared and UV to check if the documents in a conventional printed document, if they're okay. Though we all know that passport fraud is happening, so there are people out there who can compass that. Demos on this are included later on. And this is a good reason why you should do this kind of things. This is a news article from, I think, 1.5 week ago. And this was a grandma which was flying to, I don't know, some holiday location. And she picked the passport of her husband and passed all security checks and went to her destination, and on her way back, she was. They found out that it wasn't a real passport, but that's a reason why you should do this kind of things. Then you've got to pass active authentication tests. So for every file in the chip, a hash is calculated, a SHA-256, and there's a signing of all the hashes. So there's a digital signature is made out of all the hashes of all the files in the chip. To check if the signing is correct, you need a public key, and the public key is also stored in the security object in the chip. So only authorized keys of all countries should be in the equipment to test if the signature is correct. So to give an example, there's a public key in the chip, so in this chip, for example, which is signed by the Dutch government, but you got to know for sure that it is really is from the Dutch government and it isn't a self-signed certificate. So what they do with ICAO to facilitate this is they got a public key infrastructure, which is called PKD, the public key directory, and it hosts the public key data of all nations which are using it. The interesting thing is, though, that you can get some notes from ICAO. And last May they said, well, there are about 45 countries using electronic documents, but there are only 9 countries which are actually using it. So the online real-time checks for certificates are only used by at most 9 countries. And they also told me that only 5 countries are active members which are using it for real-life setups. So that's interesting. So if you you're not signed up to the public key directory, that shouldn't be a problem. What you can do is get the public key data in another way. For example, the Netherlands puts it on the internet, so you can download the public keys, put it in your equipment. Though that's a manual process, and manual processes often go wrong. What you can also see is that there are some interesting combinations. For example, Iran, both Iran and Israel are using electronic documents. They're both not signed up to the public key infrastructure, so it's very interesting how they exchange keys, if they exchange keys. What you can do to attack this mechanism, or try to do so, is to create self-signed key pairs. Got some help from Peter Goodman, a guy from New Zealand, who made some code which allows you to sign hashes with some self-signed certificates. Well, that's a theory. We also got some field tests, because passive authentication tests are covered in the standard, so you can fix it if you want to. But what about it in real life? So is this a warning or an error? That's the question. This is Jorge Lorenzo, I think the most talented new driver in the MotoGP, but sometimes he falls off. This is Robert Kubica, which is a Formula One driver. Also something went wrong, I think. He's missing some wheels and some other stuff. Warning or error, this is an operating system, but it's not working anymore. And this is a plane, but it's not flying anymore. So to check what kind of checks are actually implemented, is this a warning or an error? The signature of chip content is incorrect. Is this A, not important, B, a warning, C, a non-critical error, or D, a critical error? Well, I expect it to be a critical error, but when I checked the reference implementation, it seems to be a non-critical error. So if the data is incorrect, it just continues the checks, and it also displays the data. So what you can see here is there's a red cross which says the signature is incorrect. But for example, if you put some incomplete files on it, it stops reading right away, and it says, hey, you got a corrupt e-passport. In this way, it continues reading, but it says there is an error, but it's not critical. Same story here for active authentication. So that's also not working in this version, and again, it continues working and reading the other files, and it says that it's no good, or that there's a problem, but it doesn't stop. Then another one, hash value is incorrect, so we change the file. We leave the original signing where it was, and update, for example, a picture. If you update a picture, the hash value will change, and if the hash value will change, the hash of the actual file is different from the file of from the hash value stored in the signature. So again, not important, warning, non-critical or critical. In this case, it was just a warning. So what you can see here is that the dots, what you see here is a representation of the files which are there. Like I told you, there are at most 16 files. So one is here and two is here, and two shows a red dot, which shows that the hash is incorrect, but still it continues. Well, I think this is all very strange. This is a reference implementation. I think a reference implementation should be very strict in security checks. So what about real-life setups? If this is not checked in the way I expected in some reference software, what about real-life setups? So like I told you earlier, there are some setups in the Netherlands at town halls. So what you see here is the manual of the device. You can just go there and play around. This is my identity card, so it's a bit blurred to, again, to obfuscate some data. You can read it, and then it shows the data which is in the chip. This is my real passport. It isn't chipped. So I put it on. It doesn't work because there's no chip in it. So it says, well, it isn't working. And then I put an emulator card behind the real passport, which triggers on the code of my passport, the key of my passport. Then it starts reading. And this is not me. And the funny thing is there was a guy sitting behind the counter who was just working. So we were like filming and taking pictures and flash photography, and he didn't mention anything. And there was a girl walking by who was also working there. She looked at the screen, saw Elvis Presley, turned her head away and continued walking. And really strange. At the time I did the test, it was not clear what the intended use of the setup was. I spoke to some government officials, and now they told me that there's some kind of regulations which says if you enroll these kinds of systems, you got to provide people, civilians, with a setup so they can check the content of their own chip. So that's why they're there. So there's no, you cannot do anything with it. You cannot request a driving license or whatsoever with it. It's just for testing purposes. Now, so what you see is referring back to the checks, the picture on this passport is this one. Obviously, it's not Elvis Presley. The data in it, so the two lines on the bottom, the two bottom lines on your passport are also others than the ones you see here. Like I'm a USA citizen, or Elvis is a USA citizen, according to this screen. I'm a Dutch citizen, so this does not match. It's also interesting to see that the date of expiry is 77, and the year codes are two-digit, so it expired 30 years ago, or it's valid until 2077. It's very interesting to see that some problems occur with storage of data. Some old millennium problems are coming back. They did some things to fix that. You can put some additional files on it, but on the versions we got in the Netherlands, for example, that's not possible. What you can also do, the identity cards, the content is quite similar, but the printed characters are on the back, so there's no picture on the front. So what you can also do is just make a high-resolution scan of this one, put it on a chip, it's the same form factor. That's what I also did, and they're also accepted as a real one, so put a copy of this one in this one, and a printed copy, also put it on it, and it will also work. Then we got active authentication left. So active authentication is designed to prevent cloning and chip replacement. If you're not writing the file that contains this info, it's not working. So it's giving a critical error. It just stops reading. It says, the file content is invalid. I will stop, or it's not there. But what will happen if you manipulate the readout? So what you can see on this output, shall copy it to some. To Notepad. So what you can see here that there's a length 3. So there are 3 items stored on this chip. The first one is data group 1, and data group 1 is the printed data which is also printed on the document. We got data group 2, which is the picture, and we got data group 15, which is the active authentication info. If you look at the binary file, you'll see something like this. I don't know. Don't think that is readable in the back, but this is the content, and what you see here is O3, so there are 3 items in it, first tag, second tag, third tag. So what you can do is change the number of tags in it to 2 and replace the tags you don't want to of the files you don't want to be written of to be read. So to give a demonstration on that, on the top right, you see what I'm doing. So this is the original document, which is on the reader now. Again, the output is a bit obfuscated. So it reads it, and what you can see is that active authentication is enabled. Yellow means enabled in this case. And the data group 15 is also there. So what we do now is start the cloning software. We read the original document with the software you just saw. Then we write it to an empty emulator card. So again, all the files are written to it. But then we got a problem because we don't know the value of the private key which is used for the signing. So if we check this, it shouldn't be working. So I'm going to try that one. And what you see is still file 1, 2, and 15 are on it. But what you see is the non-critical error, which says that active authentication failed. So to fix that, we manipulate the index. So I automated that in the cloning software. So it says strip active authentication. It was switched off. Now I switch it on. and I perform the same cloning process. So again, I read the original document, as you see in the upper right corner. Put an emulator on it again, but now it removes the active authentication file from the index, and again it writes all data to the emulator. Then we try to read it again with the test tool. And what you can see now is that there are not three files on it, but just two files, just one and two, the only one that need to be there. So the software cannot say, hey, we haven't got 15, because it's an optional file. So it's not there, and active authentication, therefore, is not performed, because if it's not there, you cannot perform it. And therefore, this passport is downgraded from a well-protected version to a non-protected version, which is clonable. And you can also change it. So this is a prepared emulator card. It shows some real data, some real demos. So this one also triggers on a non-existing passport number, which is the pelvis with some numbers in it. And all the attacks I just shown are used here. So active authentication is switched off. I started with a Dutch version for this one. The file is or the biometrics, the picture is also read from this file. And what you can also see is that the signature is also okay, and you don't see red dots here. So the hashing is also okay. So this one is signed with a self-signed certificate. And you cannot see the difference between a real passport and this one, except if you test the chain of trust of the certificates in the document, which is only automated, in automated use by 5 or at max 9 countries. Oh, and it's important to notice that this tech is also applicable to new futures. Because what you saw is there are two files which need to be there, and the rest is optional. So you can switch on all kinds of additional security features, but they're all optional. So if they're not there, the software cannot say, hey, it should be there, because it's an option. So, for example, in the Netherlands, they will add fingerprints, or in the European Union next year. That's also an optional file, so you can also say, hey, I haven't got fingerprints, and then it won't read the fingerprints. And if you're a criminal, for example, and you look like the guy whose passport you're cloning, but your fingerprint obviously is different, then switch it off and you might pass. So this is a summary of the things. They're actually all implementation related. So in most cases, the design is okay. So if the design is implemented in a correct way, you haven't got a problem. But in some cases, the implementation is just not as good as it should be. There are also two exceptions. So like this one and this one. The index manipulation is not covered by the standards. You can fix it, though, by using the security object instead of the index. But it's the examples from ICAO also show that they're using the index, which is vulnerable to manipulation. Then we also got some issues with active authentication, so the anti-chip cloning measures. And you can see that on a footnote here. What they're saying is that if optional data group 15 is there, the inspection system may be performed. So actually you can also make a system that enabled additional security measures like active authentication, and then you're not testing it, and then you still comply with the standard. So some root causes. Some of the features are optional. If one party doesn't use them, for example, the Netherlands uses some advanced anti-cloning measures. Some other countries don't use it. So if you want to go to the European Union and with a fake passport, you just pick the most simple version which is around in the European Union. So you don't bother with the advanced Dutch one, which you take, for example, the UK version, which is easier to clone. Then we see that passive authentication does not protect against index manipulation. So all things that are not required, you can skip them. So no fingerprints, no additional information about yourself. Just limited to the things that are really required. Then in the implementation, the tested implementation, we see that they do not follow the standard. The standard says do this, do that. We see in some cases that those steps are not followed. And every country is reinventing the wheel. So every country is creating its own applet with its own problems. Every country is creating its own readout equipment. So in the European Union, you got dozens of countries. They will all enroll the system. They all got their own readers. They all got their own applets. And at last point, they also got their own hardware. So perhaps the side channel analysis we just saw was possible on old Dutch chips. Well, they fixed that. For example, that chip might be used in another country because it was cheap, for example. So what should you do if you want to fix it? In design, I think it's a good thing to require all security features by default. So not just a picture, but all security features which are described in a standard. And the standard is actually quite good. Just use them all by default. And protect the integrity of all files, so to prevent attacks that the fingerprints and other additional info is not read. On the implementation, I think it's a good thing to enable all security features by default, and if they're not all enabled, then you should check, for example, at border crossings, the document still with manual process, so a guy from immigration says, hey, show me your passport, because otherwise you've got a problem that the weakest chain is the security standard for, in this case, the entire European Union. I think it's also good to have some global coordination to provide three things. Standard implementation for both passports and readers, because what we see now is that every country is, like I said before, reinventing the wheel and reintroducing new bugs. If there's one standard and every country can use that, that problem can be fixed. Then I think it's a good thing to provide countries with a list of authorized hardware. So what we see, and you can also see that on the hardware track later on here today, there were some problems with MyFair Classic chips, and what you can see is that history might repeat itself. In some countries, I think also the United States, passports are valid for 10 years, and it's quite likely that within 10 years from now, some new attacks will be developed which will work on the chips that are enrolled now. But if you wait for 9 years, your passport is still valid. So perhaps you can attack that passport too at that time. And then last point, provide countries with a trusted PKI environment. So allowing them to perform real-time checks. So for example, if a key is compromised, a private key, what you want is that real-time checks see that the certificate of the compromised key is revoked. And you shouldn't use that passport anymore to cross borders and that kind of things. Right now, it's only enrolled on a limited scale, and what you want is that system is fully enrolled before you enroll any application. In the future, the picture is another hobby of mine, which is cloning fingerprints. In next June, they will start putting fingerprints or digital representations of fingerprints in European Union passports. Later on, they can also use some iris scans, DNA, whatsoever. There are lots and lots of features described in the standard. And if implemented correctly, the system heavily relies on the public key infrastructure. So the thing is, let's take if you're a criminal, you might take a job at customs and check their network security. I said before, I'm a professional penetration tester. I do this here for a couple of years, and it never happened that we didn't come in from the inside. So I don't know what the hit rate of unethical hackers is, but I guess it's also about 100%. So it's very interesting if you can get access to that network and you can introduce, for example, your own private key or for your own public key, you can start your own country and create your own batches of electronic passports, which are fully authentic. And in the end, it's just another software product. So they got the same bugs, the same problems you see everywhere. And you might exploit terminals. So, for example, the Dutch versions use Windows. You might exploit the terminals and hop onto the backend systems. And what they also might do is check your document number. And, for example, use that in a query to see if you're a fugitive, of, if you're not allowed to leave the country. So, for example, if you got passport number or 1 is 1, it might result in some interesting interesting cases. And then again, the global reader tools uses some open source libraries like a CX image for the images. Perhaps it's also possible to exploit libraries like that and get access to the backend systems using that exploits. I can also, let's see. Copy some a prepared card. To another emulator, or the one which is right here. And then one interesting thing that occurred last week in the UK is that some passports and visas are stolen. So there was a factory that is printing the documents. And they had a van, and in the van there were 3,000 passports and visas. And they were also stolen. The interesting thing is, this is what the government says in the same article. Passport service said that they cannot be used by thieves because they got high-tech chip security. Even what I show is not rewriting an existing document, but it's writing data, similar data, to another document. But if you want to pass the tests with the ultraviolet scans and infrared and all that kind of stuff, it's very interesting to use this kind of passports. Just hit it with a hammer to disable the original chip, put another one in it, and you got a passport that looks like a real one, because actually it is, and you got some chip content which may look like a real one. So, any questions? No questions at all? Then we can go to the code snippets. So this is the development environment I'm using. Ah, sorry.
Quick question for you. Just wanted to find out if you've shared this with any state departments of any countries or members of the ICAO standard group,
yeah,
and what their response was.
We contacted the ministry in the Netherlands. They were very open, and we had an arrangement within a week. And they told us that some issues are known, and some issues they're working on. They also told us that the responsibility for the readout equipment is not within that ministry, but within the Ministry of Justice. So they also arranged a meeting with them, and also some of the authors of the ICAO standard were there, and they know of all this. They're very interested in our findings, and they will use them in the test procedures for the equipment that still got to be enrolled. So for the future versions of the software, they will check if they will detect this kind of applets.
These are really interesting attacks, and I'm glad you're working on them. I'm wondering if you think that this cycle of build a standard, attack it, patch it, is actually going to lead to border documents that can't be forged, or do you think that we're going to continue in this cycle for the foreseeable future?
Well, first of all, the standard is quite okay. They documented some known attacks in a good way. They documented countermeasures, but most of them are optional. But using the standard that's here now, it might be possible to create a good system. If the PKI is enrolled in a good way, I think it is possible. Though what we see is that there's a last step between design and implementation, mm-hmm. and it goes wrong at that point, at this point in time. So I got major concerns that if the same software developers which are developing the test software, if they're also developing the border crossing software, and they make the same mistake, you might have a problem, yes.
Okay. Thank you. And a follow-up. Do you, the PKI problem, you pointed out the Iran-Israel problem, and there's problems with connectivity at some airports in less developed parts of the world. Do you think that's a solvable problem?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. It is difficult because of politics, probably, but technically you can solve it. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
I was curious if you had done any work with passports from other nations besides your own. I know here in the U.S. we're obligated by law. The document doesn't actually belong to you. It still belongs to the State Department, and its misuse is actually against federal law.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we were to do tinkering, we'd actually be violating the law. Have you dealt with other countries' passports? And if so, are there any differences that are notable?
We checked passports from the Netherlands, from Latvia, from the United States, the UK, and Denmark. And they're all, they're using different security mechanisms. So the ones from the Netherlands and Latvia are the only ones with active authentication enabled, for example. And the rest is, by default, fully clonable. And the other attacks also work. So, for example, in the United States, they got some additional info about the owner of the passport or the holder of the passport. So it not just says you're from the USA, but it also says which state you're from, for example. And you can also disable that kind of data. Yeah.
Cool.
So it's also working on other ones. Yeah.
Great. Thanks.
Some more questions? And then it's interesting to see. See, we've got another 5 minutes, I think. So this is the code of the applet I'm using right now. So this is some kind of Java. It's called Java Card. It's not 100% Java, but it's most things really look like it. And what you can see, for example, these are the files I use in the applet. So you got an index file. For the people in the back, it will be difficult to read it, I think. But it says the index file is 256 bytes. The security descriptor is 2.5K, etc. And we can take a look. And the standard. So earlier I was telling about the worked example. So this is what it looks like. It just says, do this, do that, follow these steps. And what you can see, so this is some checks should be performed by the chip. So 7, 8, 9, 10, etc. So here you can see the implementation of that, just to get an idea about how it's working. I can copy it to... perhaps something with a larger font. So what you see here, for example, step 9, you can recognize it quite easy. So step 9 says calculate the XOR of one key and another key. Now, that's what I'm doing with this code, for example. So the entire code is about 1K of code lines. And what you can do then is compile it. So this will compile the code. You can make it make a conversion so that it's usable by the card. And this is a script which you can actually upload. So if I say now, use the reader, which is on the desk now, and I say run, then something goes wrong. So at this time we got a blank card, we say compile, pack it, make some scripts, and execute it. So now it's uploading the passport applet code, it's finished, and now this thing is empty passport, which is writable. Some more questions? And I would like to thank you very much for your attention. And yeah, happy traveling.